Gordon Whitmire. Gordy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Marty. How are you?
Well, we're doing well and getting ready for baseball today. And my question is, Marcus Stroman, how good is he?
When he's been healthy this year, he's been as good as this team's got and one of the better pitchers going in the league, in my estimation. You know, classic guy, puts the ball on the ground, pretty efficient. But he's had some injury issues this year, and including a bout with COVID back in May. So it's been just the biggest struggle for him in his first year in Chicago has just been staying on the field for long stretches. But he's going pretty good right now, and you know we'll see what he's got. I want to say, did he pitch against the Giants in San Francisco?
Yep, he did six solid innings against the Giants. They didn't touch him at all. You know, Gordy, on the road, he's been fabulous. At home, he's getting crushed at home. What's that all about?
Yeah, you know, until guys, you know, put a few years together like that, I take that with a grain of salt, you know, especially a guy in his first year. He might be, is he trying too much at home in front of the new home crowd? Some of those have corresponded with, you know, returning from the IL or leading up to going on the IL, you know, so maybe there have been some extenuating circumstances too with some of those starts. So I don't think I don't think there's anything there to hang your head on, you know, small sample size and in a season with some circumstances.
Gordy, how's the weather today? As Bill Lasky says, you always check the flags before you throw that first pitch.
I'm standing on the field right now. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be mid-upper 80s. The flags are moving, however. They are blowing to left field. So keep an eye on your right-handed power.
All right. All right, let's talk Cubs. When they were out here, the Giants took 3 of 4. And, of course, we know it's rebuilding. But how is the rebuilding going for the Cubs?
Well, they've established some promising signs so far. One of them is Justin Steele, the left-hander. He's made 24 starts, I believe, this year. He's got the best ERA on the staff, and he's been really, really good the last couple of months. He's on the IL right now with a little bit of a back thing, not considered serious, but they're certainly not going to push him to bring him, you know, rush him back or anything like that. He might be done for the year, but there's plenty of time left to get back from something like he's got. He says he wants to, so I imagine he'll make another start or two down the stretch. But he's done enough this year already that, and this is big, I can't overstate this when it comes to the Cubs. He, as a homegrown starting pitcher, has locked himself into a place in the rotation going into next year and beyond, and that's basically a first for this club since Theo got here before the 2012 season. So that's a big deal. Keegan Thompson, a guy that came up last year, was a rookie last year alongside Steele, has looked good. He's looked outstanding as a multi-inning reliever, and they slid him over into the rotation for a while. He's looked good. I mean, he's had some clunkers in the rotation, so his numbers aren't as good there. And you know, so the jury's still out. They got to see. He's kind of depth right now in that role. But Nico Horner has established himself, been able to stay on the field, a guy from your area there, who's been able to stay on the field, which was the big question coming in, and he's produced. I mean, he was probably a good week or two away from possibly sneaking into the All-Star conversation at one point this year, and he's maintained his numbers, and he's put up good defensive metrics, and the eye test tells you that those metrics are probably right as a shortstop. Now, they're still going to need to go out and get a middle infielder, I think a shortstop in the offseason, just because with the shift going away, that's going to mitigate his they're going to need more athleticism in the middle of their infield. But knowing that you've got him and he can do a lot of the things he's shown this year is a big deal. Now, they're going to lose Wilson Contreras. The rest of their core is gone. They need two big pieces in the offseason. If they were to get one of those shortstops and your guy, Carlos Rodon, and Rodon came in and stayed healthy all year next year, they could make waves next year.
Hmm. Boy, you think Rodon, they're interested in Rodon?
I think they should be. I don't know that they've got the appetite to go out and to go big on multiple guys in the offseason. You know, they they went and got Stroman last offseason. This kind of gives you an example, gives you an idea of where they think sometimes. There were three guys, right? Gossman, Robbie Ray, and Stroman. You can put them in whatever order you want. Robbie Ray and Gossman, and then Stroman right behind him. And two of those guys got five-year deals at over 100. One of them got a three-year deal at 71, and that was our guy, Stroman. So that's kind of like that's kind of how they operate. And you know, they went all in to get the Japanese free agent, Seiya Suzuki. He's looked good lately. He's struggled much of the year. He's kind of finding his way. You think he's going to be a nice, solid player? He's making $17 million a year, but with the hosting fee, it was a $100 million acquisition for 5 years. That's big for the way these guys have been thinking lately. So I don't know what to expect going into this. They claim they're going to be aggressive. They claim they're going to spend money. And some of the baseball people think they might be close. I think from a marketing standpoint, from an ownership and business standpoint, they can't afford another one of these 20 games under 500 losing seasons where you're out of it, you know, in July. Last year, you were out of it in May this year. I don't think you can do that. They had the last game of the Red Series here recently, which would have been Thursday. They had the lowest attended home game, not counting the pandemic restrictions on attendance, since 2013. And that was 2 years before they got competitive in their last game.
A lot of people think they should be in the Aaron Judge sweepstakes. Now, of course, Judge is trying to work the market a little bit. He's saying how much he loves San Francisco, probably to pump up the Yankees a little bit. But the Cubs are always in the mix because they have money. How about Aaron Judge to the Cubs?
Sure, it's a nice fantasy. It ain't going to happen. If you're going to spend that much money as a Cubs front office, you're a fool if you spend it on Aaron Judge. And that's not to disparage Aaron Judge in any way, but to sink that much money in that player, that skill set, when you have a couple of other very identifiable big needs, I think just risks setting you back even further. Like you're going to go spend that kind of money, it's going to restrict what you're able to do with a big rotation piece, for instance, with open depth, for instance. And very much, I really believe this, and I know people in the system do too. They need more athleticism in their infield. They need, if you're going to spend money and go get a guy, go get one of the shortstops.
I've got to get in. Gord needs me.
Boy, you know, Gordy, that what you just said could apply to the Giants and Aaron Judge too, because they need a lot more than one player. Joe Maddon, a former manager of the Cubs, was very outspoken this week about analytics and how it's changed the manager's role, that managers are now middle managers as opposed to managers who really control the game. What was your take on Joe Maddon? You know him well.
I'm 100% in agreement with him on that. I've watched it. You know, I've been a beat writer on a full-time beat, covered four different teams since the 90s, and I've seen it change before my eyes, and people back when I started, you know, told me it was already changing. I was in clubhouses since the 80s, and, you know, you go back to then, Marty, you know well, you know, you go back to some of the managers back then, they ruled the roost, and I mean, like, in many cases, had more power than the GMs. Now, is that a good thing? You know, back then, the front offices were smaller. The game wasn't computerized, and so on. But it does seem to me that it's they've jumped the shark somewhere here, because it's so far to the other side. You really have there's two things you need out of your manager anymore. You need. He's got to deal with the media. I can tell you from my own experiences, managers I've covered in the past, the front offices didn't give a rat's ass about that ability when it came to making those hires. Now that's a big part of your job. It's a huge part of your job. And then the other thing that kind of goes hand in glove with that is how you work with people. And so you're just kind of a people manager. You're a guy that can talk to millennials. You're a guy that can identify across demographics and ages, generations, and be able to listen to a guy, because you got to listen to players more than tell them nowadays. And so those are the two skill sets that are now most important, because the rest of it's a collaborative effort. You know, the lineups. How many managers get to even put out their own lineups anymore? I mean, that's been a narrative out of L.A. with the Dodgers for a long time, and that's a very successful front office in manager seat there, and the team's done a lot of things. So I just look, if that's the generation you come up in, you like that job, great. And Joe has seen it from other generations, other viewpoints, and his experience as a manager is different. He's a guy, and there's a handful of them out there. Let them do their jobs. You know, you're going to fire them if the system fails, and they're the first guys that are going to get fired. They need to at least be able to go out on their own terms.
Interesting.
On their own terms.
Yeah, interesting. It's hard to say what's right, because the way you lay it out, it's not that simple anymore for the manager just to run the team the way they did in the old days. There's a lot more to life in handling people today all over society, and that's now crept into baseball. Gordy, great to have you on, as always. We love having you on, and we'll keep track of you, and we'll see what the Cubs do this winter. And be well, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Marty. You too. Anytime.
All right, yeah, a pleasure. Boy, he's been on with us for many years. Gordon Whitmire, he is with NBC Sports Chicago. Well, a couple other things happening today around baseball, especially around Wrigley Field. They're having an induction into the Cubs Hall of Fame. And Buck O'Neill, of course, who was inducted into the Cooperstown Hall of Fame this year, legendary person, African-American, first coach in Major League Baseball, signed Lou Brock, brought Ernie Banks to the Cubs, and really just a great spokesperson for Negro League Baseball and baseball in general. The great Buck O'Neill is being inducted into the Cubs Hall of Fame. Really just a first black coach, how about that, in Major League Baseball. Wow, Buck O'Neill. Also, Jose Cardinal. He was a former Giant, and he was traded over to the Cubs in the 60s. He was a center fielder, I think, when Leo Durocher was there, when the Cubs made their run at the end of the 60s. Jose Cardinal, good athletic player, could do a lot, and was a Giant, as I say, when he first came up to the big leagues. And the last going in is the broadcaster for the Cubs radio, Pat Hughes, who has done a great, great, great job, and of course has worked with Harry Carey, among others. But he is the voice of Cubs baseball on the radio. He works with Ron Coomer. Absolutely terrific. Terrific guy. Remember, he did the baseballvoices.com. And if you go to that website, he did CDs every winter of great Hall of Fame voices. Lon Simmons and Russ Hodges and Vince Scully and many, many are done there. Beautiful CDs, baseballvoices.com. So they recognize Pat Hughes today as well. So I'm very happy for him. So that's going on at Wrigley Field today, as well as Giants and Cubs. All right. More coming up. Our Giants pregame is next. Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions, joins us next right here in the Sports Leader.